This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Thursday. This is episode 175, and this week we are discussing upcoming releases, including Kingsman and 50 Shades of Sexy Positioning, the spoiler-free reviews of Project Almanac, The Loft, and The Voices, as well as Predestination, which is new to, I think, Blu-ray and DVD this week or next week. Our From the Outside In topic this week, When Love Goes Wrong and the Worst Screen Couples. Latest movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson, and I think if I were played in a romantic film, it would have to be amusing yet a little dark. I'm thinking Michael Fassbender. Yeah. Joining me today are my fellow hosts. One is, he's lovable, but a little brickish. So I think you know he'd be played by Steve Carell. Scotty Clark.
Brickish.
I coined a new phrase.
I set myself up for that one, I think, with my...
You did. You shouldn't start saying, hey, which of us sounds like Anchorman?
I straight up said, I'm pretty sure I'm Brick by obvious choice.
Well, you cast yourself.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
You want to come to a pants party?
I'm riding a furry tractor. Okay, next up, the draw says it all. So I think he'd either have to be Matthew McConaughey or Larry the Cable Guy. We're not quite sure. Brian Williams.
Well, let's see, I am wearing sleeveless flannel, so all I guess that narrows that one down.
You got a fish hook in your cap?
Yeah, yep.
Nice.
And I'm sitting on my John Deere lawnmower.
Wait, you're actually wearing sleeveless flannel? Really?
Yeah.
People still wear that, huh?
Yeah, you know.
He's like, people stopped? I
got crotchless flannel underwear, too. What, you got a problem with that?
No. I'm glad you shop at the Rapist Goodwill.
Crotchless underwear? Isn't that just like counterproductive?
Lastly, well, yeah, can we introduce...
gives you a place where you can tuck your undershirt into.
Poor Justin. He's just sitting there just waiting. Lastly, the pretentiousness would have to match the enunciation. So I'm thinking Benedict Cumberbatch. Justin McCumber.
I'd go with that. Yeah. I'd go with that.
It works.
Or, you know, Charlie Hunnam. Whichever.
No.
Apparently they're you know, replaceable.
They're interchangeable.
Wait a minute. Justin gets Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
Brian gets Matthew McConaughey. And I get Steve Carell.
He's a handsome fella. He's just got a big nose. You got a big head, so it kind of evens out.
Yeah, it was either that or the Easter Island statues. One of the two.
you do got a big melon, bro.
I do.
You do.
Your poor mother.
It should have its own weather system with that head. Heed!
It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Heed! Oh, you can't see it, but Scott has a huge melon.
It's like Sputnik.
Go through us and lay on your huge pillar.
Ah, that was off size, wasn't it? He'd be crying himself to sleep on his huge pillar.
Oh. The paper is down.
We are off to a great start. Remember to review us on iTunes, thumbs up on Stitcher, and share with your friends if you haven't already turned it off.
And if you'd like to donate to the collection to get Justin a new chair that doesn't squeak like crazy.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Justin, can you demonstrate just real quick? See? 50 Shades of Grey should be filmed at his house. Justin, speaking of movies, John Wick, which you and I were a big fan of, the directors are saying they're going to do a sequel. Are you excited?
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
That is great.
That is fantastic news. Other news, the guys that did The Guest and what was the other one? You're Next, the movies I really liked. Mm-hmm. They're working on another horror movie. Adam Wingard.
I didn't see The Guest finally. That was really good.
Well, and I said it was.
And apparently you convinced half of our audience to
exactly.
watch it too.
Half of The Guest DVD sales were people that listen to the podcast.
They should give you a copy of the next one, their next movie, for free, just, you know, by default.
That would be, I'll email them, and they'll ignore my email, and then tell me that's probably not going to happen.
George, we're a big deal.
What's that?
We're a big deal.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's all relative, Justin.
It is. My mom thinks we're a big deal, and that's really all that matters. Of course, she doesn't listen, but what are you going to do? George Lucas thinks Hollywood makes a lot of circus movies, quote unquote. That's my air quote, Scott. Can you see it?
Great radio, man.
Yep. And he also has no more interest in sci-fi. So this is from a recent interview. So what I want to know, does that make him like just a grumpy old guy? Or do you guys think that the fans from the prequels ruined everything for him? Justin, I'll throw it to you first. Cause I know he's your idol.
Well, I would say it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. First of all, I don't even know what he means by circus movies. Does he mean films that are all visual splendor?
Yeah, they're not deep.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And no story? Or what?
Yeah, he says circus over substance. He basically said how it's a lot of gore and how much blood gets splattered and that kind of thing.
And also special effects over substance.
Right.
Okay, well, did he see episodes 1, 2, and 3?
I think he's actually probably excised the – he special affected them out of his brain.
I think he had – yes, special edition. He removed Sunshine of the Spotless Mind out of his brain because those movies were incredibly beautiful, but there were so many story problems and some of the lack of story in them. For him to now just turn around and have this opinion about what others are doing is really just ridiculous. I do think he's gotten grumpy in his old age. I do think the reception that the prequels got really soured him to moviedom these days. And I got to say, you know, hey, you made those movies. You have to own sometimes people's reactions to them. And if it's just one person bitching or two, maybe you can go ahead and say, you know what, that's them, it's not me, and move on. But it just seems like an overwhelming number of people disliked those movies and thought he'd lost his touch. I have, you know, I'm amongst them after years of playing Lucas apologist. And I've finally just realized that, I hate to say it, but I think Star Wars was a fluke. Somehow
big words.
He created a universe and a movie that was amazing. And ever since then, it has just existed on the glory of those movies. And he somehow could not replicate it. It's a bit, you know, the second film, you can give a lot of it to the Lawrence Kasdan, who came in and did the writing. Or did he direct it?
He directed it. Lucas wrote it.
He helped write it, too. Lucas wasn't solo on the writing.
I hate to think that Star Wars might have actually just been a fluke or an accident. But considering what he's done since then, I kind of can't help but think that way. So
I don't believe that. I think what happened is he was really invested in that world. And then as he gained so much success and he got more into to technology versus the storytelling, I think that really pulled him in the wrong direction.
Well, that's my point with all this is he's talking about it's more circus than substance. I don't think Star Wars would have been as successful as it was, no matter how good the story is, if it didn't have the circus. Mm-hmm. The reason people went to see that in the theater is you can't wait to see – you got to see this opening scene and it blew people away and you
dance,
had to go
monkey,
see
dance.
It. You know what I mean? That's what made the movies popular. And now you're going to sit there and...
he bears a little responsibility because he created the shit that's creating the circus.
Mm-hmm.
Industrial light magic.
Yeah, that was kind of my point was that it's kind of his fault. He's the one that, you know, he's not the one that created the very first epic movie. But, you know, he really did kind of spurn this huge renaissance of science fiction and all these giant spectacles and the leaps forward that he made with special effects. I mean, it's kind of his fault.
And his blessing at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yes, exactly.
I mean, I'm as happy as anybody.
The good and the bad.
Right, yes, exactly.
Well, positive Star Wars news. I think it's positive. Some people might not. But Felicity Jones has been cast in the Gareth Edwards-directed Star Wars spinoff. We don't know anything more really about that, but we'll talk about it in a second. And also in casting news, the Cumberbatch, like Justin was alluding to earlier, I forgot that that's a whole word, alluded to earlier, has been replaced by Jax Teller. That's right. Charlie Hunnam is apparently good enough to play Benedict Cumberbatch in The Lost City of Z. Scott, what are we talking about?
First off, that's the weirdest casting change I think I've heard in a long time, because that's two actors from complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Benedict Cumberbatch, Jack Teller, both fine actors.
They're both British. Come on, British actors.
Yeah, they're both British. They're both actors. I'll give you both actors.
They're both actors. Wait a minute. Charlie Hunnam is British?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not know that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's that good.
Because I've never...
You can't hear his accent on Sons of Anarchy because it's there.
That's what I've always thought it was like a Southern thing or something because it's like it never sounded British, but it sounded just... Wow. Okay, my world has changed a little bit.
I get that all the time, you know. People think I'm from, like, Nottingham or something.
But anyway...
They're like, hello, Governor.
Hello, Governor.
So this Lost City of Z, it's Brad Pitt's company. Plan B has picked up the story, which is an adaptation from the book by David Gran. It's a true story, based on a true story, but apparently there's this British explorer back in the 1920s who disappeared while searching for a mysterious city in the Amazon. His name is Colonel Percival Fawcett, and apparently Hunnam is going to be playing this colonel from the 20s. So I'm still trying to – I'm going from Charlie Hunnam as, you know, Jax Teller, and then the guy in Pacific Rim. Now a 1920s British explorer?
That's what actors do, man. I just don't – if I'm sitting in a room and somebody's like, hey, Benedict Cumberbatch can't do this. He's busy. He's going to be Doctor Strange, which is fine. That's why he's leaving. He's going to do Doctor Strange.
Right.
And they're like, who do we get? Jax Teller. Yeah. I want to be in that room. I want to see where that seems like the right choice. It's like you got Clive Owen. You got what's the guy that's going to be in Kingsman?
The young guy
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth. Thank you. All these British guys, and you think of Jax Teller. I just, hey, good for him. His career's taken off.
Yeah, yeah. Just seems very strange.
I've heard it's a great book. I have not read it though.
So that's... Justin, have you read it?
No, I haven't.
Brian, you?
Nope.
Awesome.
What about the Star Wars news?
Oh, I'm stoked about this. I think it sounds really cool. But like you said, there's so much question and rumor and speculation at this point. It's kind of hard to really get any facts nailed down. But mysterious spinoff. I'm kind of curious what that means. You know, we don't really know.
There's some rumors that it could be a young Han Solo movie,
which would be awesome. Yeah, but that's purely speculation at this point. And there's possibility of Aaron Paul playing that role.
I think him and Edgar Ramirez.
Edgar Ramirez, yep. Again, all rumor, but how do you feel about Aaron Paul as a young Han Solo?
I shot first, bitch.
Fuck yeah, bitch.
I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah?
Did you see Need for Speed? Is Justin and I the only, are we the only ones that saw that? Because if you go see that, I think he's got it. I think he can pull it.
I thought you said that movie was more the
it
car
is, but I also said he was really good in it. Like I see him as almost like
with the swashbuckling swag type guy that Han Solo had when what's his face was really, really young. Well,
he can play edgy, he can play funny, and you can play him combined. I think he has the right sense of humor to play Han Solo if that's the character it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it. I mean, the only thing his hairline's a little receded, I think, but.
Get Chadwick Boseman to play a young Lando Calrissian.
Oh.
Bam.
Did you hear his quote last week? One of my favorite quotes I heard an actor say.
Who's that?
Chadwick Boseman, because he's playing the Black Panther. They asked him about, you know, what do you think about doing this? You know, when you've been doing these biopics for so long. And he said, when it comes down to it, I'd rather have an action figure than a Golden Globe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was like such a great quote.
That is a great quote.
Because so many other actors wouldn't say
that. And one to shut people up, too. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
No, I mean, it's just like one to... It's one of those where, you know, if you give some vague, weird answer, then they kind of keep prodding. The media just keeps prodding, and they won't leave it alone. But you throw something like that, it just stops it right there.
It's true. And Felicity Jones, whoever she's going to play... She was great. In Theory of Everything, I love her. She won me over. One movie, she won me over. Well, moving on to news that made Justin giddy. Like, he sent me a message and said, put this on the format, bitch. So, here it is.
That's right. I said bitch.
Kurtzman, Orci, and Joe Hill are bringing back Tales from the Dark Side. Tell us all about it. You're excited.
Well, this is going to be coming through the CW, which, you know, some people may not think is the right place for a show like Tales from the Dark Side, but they have been putting out some pretty good content lately that's of a slightly darker nature. I mean, Arrow is a fairly dark show. They also do the Vampire Diaries in the originals, which isn't, you know, it's no Twilight on those shows. There's a little bit more to it. Joe Hill, who, as we've previously said, is Stephen King's son, you know, he's written his own horror novels as well, and that I've highly enjoyed. They even did Horns as a movie starring Daniel Radcliffe, which was pretty good stuff. Hill is going to be overseeing this along with Alex Kurtzman and Bob Orci, who, Jesus, is there a project they're not involved in?
I thought they broke up.
In some way, I mean,
like, didn't they announce we're not partners anymore, but all I ever see them do is partner up?
Right. I mean, every other movie and TV show now has got these guys as producers, but it's going to be coming out. It's going to, you know, maintain that anthology style that it has had. And I'm really looking forward to it because Tales is a show that I remember watching when I was a kid and finding it to be a much scarier show than, you know, those old black and white Twilight Zones that never quite got to me. This was, you know, it was kind of made for my generation of kid, and I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm glad to see it coming back, especially with him at the helm of it. So he's also going to be doing this with director David Nutter, who is one of those guys. I think they consider him like a pilot director extraordinaire.
He is. He did a bunch of X-Files. He's done Game of Thrones, I think. I think he's done just about everything. He did Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's worked on just about every show you can imagine. Well, so I'm excited to see where all this goes.
I'm a big fan of Tales from the Dark Side. I always was.
I know nothing about it.
It's like a horror anthology. It's like Tales from the Crypt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you know what one of the creepiest things about that show was?
No. Tell me.
The opening.
It was, because it had that ominous narration.
That weird music. And then the birch trees that... Mm-hmm. Kind of faded, and it kind of went into this weird inverted,
negative color thing
that, you know, which would looks probably totally ridiculous right now, but at whatever, 10, 12, 13 years old or something, you know, for a TV show, it was pretty spooky. And it was always kind of late at, you know, what was it? Saturday nights?
Oh yeah. It was like a late night show.
Like 11:30 or something like that. And you know,
it was like Tales from the Crypt and with that horror element mixed with a really campy Hitchhiker on HBO, if you ever watched that. It was like a combination of camp and horror.
There was one episode, and it, as a kid, it just scared the shit out of me. It was about these two older men who were incredibly wealthy, and one of them decides that he wants to purchase the soul of his friend. And his friend, who doesn't believe in souls and doesn't think anything of it, she's sure, I'll take your money for the stupid thing. And at the end of the episode, of course, his friend whose soul he purchased dies, and the soul comes to him. And it is just this horrific scene where this guy realizes just what he's bought and how terrifying it is. And, you know, kind of to this day, it still sends chills up my spine thinking about that.
Is that like your version of the Republican Party?
Oh, yes. Just a bunch of old white people roaming around like just ghosts fucking everything up.
All right, hippie. Harper Lee. Now, if you don't know who Harper Lee is, then you probably didn't go to school, because it's one of the almost, I think it's required reading in most schools. But she wrote the book To Kill a Mockingbird, which became a movie, very famous movie with Gregory Peck. Well, she is still alive. I had no idea. And she is releasing a sequel focusing on an adult scout who, if you remember, was the daughter of Atticus Finch. And it's going to be like 20 years later after that story happened. And she's basically forced to confront her father's attitudes. It's going to be called Go Set a Watchman. Brian, what do you think about this?
Very interesting. And really, like, to me, the first kind of news that slapped me in the face was the fact that she was still alive. I just kind of assumed she would, you know. She was dead.
Happens.
She's not putting out sex tapes, so it's not like we're aware of her existence constantly.
that we know of.
Or changing gender. You know.
Don't know. That's gonna be a reality show. Just wait.
You know that will be.
Oh yeah, it's coming.
And the other thing that I really kind of found just as interesting too was the fact that this book, Go Set a Watchman, was actually written before To Kill a Mockingbird, but was found. I guess they lost it, or maybe they just figured that To Kill a Mockingbird would be a better one to start with, and that was just kind of put back on the shelf and forgotten about or what have you. But, you know, I guess because it was written before, I'm more open to it. If it was just something that's, you know, somebody kind of put her up to writing recently, then I wouldn't give it a second thought.
And for those that... Because it is an older movie, and some people haven't read the book. Scott hasn't read the book. Mm-mm. Atticus Finch is a lawyer who has to represent a man that's falsely accused of raping a white woman, and he's a black man. And it's just a whole lot of racial tension and attitudes in the South. I think it's the 1930s was the actual time frame. But it's all told through his kids' point of view, Scout primarily, which is his daughter. So the whole movie is, and the book especially, is through her point of view, seeing what her dad is doing. And he's kind of this, you know, hard charging, do the right thing, very decent man in a town full of racism. So it's just, it's one of the most polarizing books you'll ever, or I don't know if it's still that way, but it felt that way at the time. And it's just been a classic forever. And you said you haven't read it?
Mm-mm.
Oh. And you know it's only a matter of time before they make a movie. Now, Brian, since you and I know the film, and Justin, are you a fan of the original at all? I know it's not
really.
Yeah,
of course.
Are you? Okay. What do you guys think? Because Scott's never seen it, nor has he read the book, right?
Correct.
What do you guys think of them if they were to make this a movie? Would you prefer that they redid the original, like told that story again for a newer audience and then did a sequel, like a proper sequel?
Just
how about we don't make a movie of it?
No, of this book.
Right. I mean,
I think kind of to Justin's point is it's almost you're like pulling a string, you know, undoing a ball of yarn where you kind of, okay, yeah, it makes sense to make a movie about it. But by doing that, now you're kind of forced with that question. Do we make a remake, which, let's just face it, will not be nearly as good as the original?
It's probably,
you know,
true.
Or do you, you know, or do you not do it and then you just do that? Somebody will, just because that's just, you know, the studios are, that's just what they do. You know, they will. Somebody will.
Well, but part of me thinks they almost should, to a degree, because I think it's an important story and too many people will not watch the old one because it's in black and white and it's old.
And Scott, that's their loss.
Well, I agree it's their loss, but I also think that I would like people to, I think it's a great story and the more people that see it is the better as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. Just a thought.
For those, real quick, for those people who may not quite understand how this book, which is now coming out, was really written before To Kill a Mockingbird, from what I've gleaned through Wikipedia, which we know is always 100% correct.
Oh, yeah, it's science.
When Lee wrote Go Set a Watchman, her editor persuaded her to rework some of Watchmen's sequences in which Scout was having flashbacks to her childhood to rework those into a novel in their own right, which then did become To Kill a Mockingbird. And Harper Lee said that as a first-time writer, I just did what I was told. So this, while it was written before that one, I'm pretty sure it has been reworked to a large degree since all those flashback scenes are probably no longer necessary. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's been reworked quite a bit. But what I really found fascinating is that she has not written a book since To Kill a Mockingbird.
Nope.
She tried. She wrote another, put it away because she didn't like it. She wrote a nonfiction, put it away because she didn't like it. And now finally this. I have to wonder what kind of weight she felt pressing on her with the overwhelming success of To Kill a Mockingbird, the fear of writing another book and it not matching up.
I wish M. Night Shyamalan had that discretion.
Yeah. I'd be fine if he had that problem.
Yeah.
I wish. Yeah. If he had that kind of discipline, this world would be a better place.
Yeah, no kidding.
Maybe it's not that, Justin. Maybe she just got so filthy rich off it, she didn't really need to work. She's still
a writer of her talent has to have been compelled by the writing and not by the money aspect. But shit, who knows? I don't know the woman. So
everybody is susceptible to money.
Hey, I put out Haywire and it's a fucking magnificent book and I've still kept writing. So
you know what? You didn't make $1 billion off it. I bet if you did.
No.
It'd be a different world.
Please, Hollywood, throw money at me.
Welcome to Brian's Trailer Park. All right. Well, the Super Bowl has dropped just a ton of movie trailers this week. Most of them kind of updates. They're all up on our website. So instead of just, you know, expanding and babbling about a bunch of them, which one of these got your blood pumping the most, good or bad, Scott?
For me, it was Pitch Perfect 2, believe it or not. I was going.
Was it awesome?
I was really excited to see it anyway, and I'm ready for that to happen now. And it doesn't hurt that the Green Bay Packers are in it,
fucking
too.
Fucking Packers are in it.
And I thought they were just making, like, a little cameo, like, just that shot in the movie, but they're apparently actually competing in the story, it looks like. They can't be actually singing, can they?
Oh, I'm sure.
No, from what I understand.
Really? Yeah, if so, that's awesome.
Yeah. There used to be, on the Cowboys, there were several players who put together a band, and toured.
Did a team?
They played their instruments and sang.
Hey, the 85 Bears, you know, they had a rap video.
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
these people ain't just athletes, yo.
I don't know if I'd call the 85 Bears song an actual rap song, but they did rhyme at different parts.
I'd call it maybe a shuffle.
Coming for you. That's all, I don't remember that stupid thing.
Justin, which one of these worked for you?
Oh, fucking Furious
Damn
7.
You.
When that car
flying cars
flying out of one building and crashed into another, I was like a child on the couch just bouncing up and down and shouting, oh my God, they are not doing that. They are not. And they did. It was so.
So we've gone from people jumping from car to car over, you know, over bridges and interstates and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're now jumping from building to building.
Building to building in the car.
And that is so awesome.
We had people over for the Super Bowl.
So dumb.
And there had to be somebody sitting there going, well, you know, logically, that doesn't make any sense. That, you know, and he's going through all these logistics and everything. I'm like, who gives a shit? I just saw a car jump from skyscraper to skyscraper. That's the coolest thing I've seen. That's fantastic. I don't care how stupid it is. Because why is a car on the 50th floor? I don't know. Don't care.
Don't care. Matter.
Don't care.
He just had to get from one place to another, took the direct route.
And I actually like the Ted 2 commercial. I mean, the trailer.
Oh, that was so fucking
funny. The trailer's actually funny, but I did like the commercial that they put in the Super Bowl, too.
The Tom Brady thing?
Is yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was funny. Open
so
up the blankets like,
dick, oh. What was in the suitcase in Pulp Fiction?
It might be.
Because they both have the same glow.
That's the MacGuffin right there. It was all Tom Brady's penis.
That's the McCumber. Just a big penis.
That's a perfect spiral. And the actual Ted 2 trailer, that's on their website too. Have you seen the actual Ted 2 trailer, the full one?
Yeah.
That I mean, I know it's probably going to be dumb, but it looks really funny. It really did look
funny. As long
as
McFarlane is voice acting, I am just fine with him doing whatever he wants to do. Don't put your face in front of the camera, bro. It's not working out for
that.
You.
I like A Million Ways to Die in the West a lot more than I like Ted. So I'm fine if he does another one. Come back! Other than that, I think Tomorrowland is probably about the only other one I really got jazzed about. Brian, what about you?
See,
we've been talking.
Yeah, I was kind of I got amped right at the end of the Jurassic World trailer, even though we really didn't see a whole lot that was brand new. It still didn't change my low thoughts on Chris Pratt's role.
Mm-hmm.
Not knocking him as an actor, but it's just he's just got all these weird short one-liners that makes me wonder how much dialogue the guy really has in the movie. But the end of it, though, when you see the people that are in the car and they got the clear roof and the dinosaur steps on it and the nail punches through, has got me really, really curious as to seeing this in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I'm one of the few people who do love a good 3D movie. The problem is knowing which ones to go see in 3D. But this one has a lot of potential with the pterodactyls and the mountains and the like that scene, you know, possibly that nail coming out at you as you're sitting there. So that type of potential has got me very curious and has ramped up my anticipation for this movie. I was already excited about it. I mean, I love the franchise. So that alone, you know, I've got a kind of a baseline desire to see it. But with if you toss in some fantastic 3D, then I'm squeeing.
I hope Magic Mike comes out in 3D.
Do you now?
I do. The new trailer came out.
You just
today.
Want that Johnson just coming right at you in your face.
The new trailer, which...
God, he can dance.
Every time I see him dance, I hate myself. Because I know
him.
I will never... I know, right? It's like, fuck you, Channing Tatum. See Tates.
God, how dare you be so talented and handsome and rich? Fuck you.
Did you just call him C-Tates?
C-Tates. Son of a bitch. I hate you and your charisma.
Life just gave and gave to him, didn't it?
It did. It's like nothing ever took anything away.
God forgot to turn off the faucet. He just walked away and it just kept pouring in talent and everything else.
He could do everything. Ah. And when you see him dance, it's so fluid and absolutely. I am totally gay. I'm totally gay for Channing Tatum.
Whoa.
Absolutely. Well,
that explains a lot.
Mm-hmm. I am. I'm like, oh, Magic Mike, what? What?
And when you watch the trailer to my wife and she just replied back, damn.
Well, I was going to go see that movie with you, but I don't know now.
Oh, we're going.
That's it.
We're going. I hope it's an IMAX 3D. Just... Jumbo Johnson.
Oh, Jesus. You are not getting popcorn if we go see that movie together.
They won't, they don't, no, because it'll all fall out the hole.
It's all right, Scott. Don't worry about it because he'll clean up your seat whenever you're, you know.
Oh, man.
As I'm doing a lap dance. What?
I just can't imagine the cleanup that's going to go into those theaters after that.
I keep telling people, if you're a single guy, just wait outside.
Wait outside.
Just wait outside the doors.
Just have your car parked.
Yep.
Have the door open.
Maybe have a nice tie on. Well, actually, you don't need one. Have a breakaway. Have some breakaway pants.
No, just, you wear just the tie. Bow tie. You wear the tie after 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go. All right. Brian's got this figured out.
Tell you, man.
Oof. I do want to mention real quick the Daredevil trailer came out for the new show. That's on the website, too. That looks really sleek, really gritty.
It does. It looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. So watch those. All those freaking trailers are on the website. And my God, there's a lot to watch. So
enjoy.
Clean off your calendar before you go in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Do-do. Oh, or in Aaron's Ride case, just pony. Kind of clean off the underside of his desk. On that note, if there's anything you want to tweet us about, hit us up at @H_Outsider. Go on to facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Join our group. There's lots of fun, lots of interaction with everybody. Email us at feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
Well, folks, we've got three films for February 13th. The first one, What We Do in the Shadows, which really is the worst title ever because so many jokes. We're not going to go into this one. We're just going to mention it, that it was discussed and reviewed in episode 170. Aaron, Scott, just remind people, should they go see this or should they not?
Yes.
Yeah, it's something different and something that I haven't seen before that I didn't think was going to work, and it really did.
All that shit and the explanation for why they like virgin blood. It's all worth it.
Just watch that scene.
That one
so
scene
funny.
Is worth the price of admission.
Well, there you go. Next up, 50 Shades of Grey. This is directed by Sam Taylor Johnson and it stars Jamie Dornan as the titular Christian Grey, as well as Dakota Johnson as Anastasia Steele. Where the fuck do they get these names from? Oh, yeah, a crappy writer. Literature student Anastasia Steele's life changes forever when she meets handsome yet tormented billionaire Christian Grey. Now, Aaron, you've already professed your undying love and devotion to Channing Tatum. Mm-hmm. Is there any room in your man lust cave for a little Christian Grey?
Absolutely. Well, first, should a writer call another writer a crappy writer?
Yes, we can. I can, because I know.
Anyway, yeah. And I want to see it a lot. And it's not because I'm into bondage, though maybe I am. It's more that everybody keeps talking about it. I want to see what everybody's talking about. Even though the one scene I want to see isn't in the movie because they cut it because it's too racy. But I really wanted to see it. I really want to see it. Yes,
absolutely. You think they're going to put out an unrated DVD of it?
Oh, yeah.
No, the one talked about scene, which is the tampon scene. I'm not going to tell you what happens because we're not that kind of show. But if you Google tampon and 50 Shades of Grey, you'll know. They cut that out, and that's like one of the most talked about scenes in the book, and I don't understand why you would cut that out. It makes no sense to me. It's a really – it seems like a really telling really telling tale of their story.
It'll be in this, like Justin said, it'll be in the special edition.
No, they never filmed it.
Maybe so, it'll be a stinger at the end of the movie.
Well, they would still have to film it. You guys don't understand. They have to film it for this to happen.
They say they didn't.
Well, they
film
may
it.
Have tried to synergize with Tampax. It fell through the last minute, and they couldn't do it.
That
no,
actually makes
they,
sense.
They filmed it. It'll be in the Double Click Your Mouse edition at home video.
Double Click Your Mouse edition.
Wow. God, Scott, you're actually improving. While Aaron degenerates.
Yep, I get worse and worse. Rising. Worse and worse. The only thing that really irritated me about this is that stupid that people are jumping on this bandwagon for every cause that they have. I've seen all kinds of some Christian coalition. They're wanting to boycott the movie. You've got,
well, of course it has
domestic abuse is saying that don't go see this because it's equating with domestic bondage. Is not domestic abuse. That's party time. Different story.
Yeah.
Two consenting adults is not like getting your ass beat.
Especially since in the book, he actually has her sign a contract before they do anything, like a legal document that he's drawn up.
Isn't that prostitution?
Well, that's sexy as fuck.
Hey, baby, before I take that tampon out, sign this.
What about you, Brian? I mean, I know you were a huge goer of the Twilight movies. Is Molly going to be dragging you off to 50 Shades of Grey? Oh, I'm sorry. Quote, unquote, dragging you into it.
Yeah. Is she going to meet you at the theater where you're already seated and ready?
I don't know. She's not mentioned too much about it. So, but she's been pretty preoccupied with other stuff. So, I don't know. But personally, I just really don't have any interest in seeing it. I just don't. I mean, if I, want to watch something erotic, there's
the internet.
Here's the thing is still I'm free. I want to see it. I'm the only one here that's read the book, I assume.
Yeah, I don't read. No.
Okay,
I stopped and like as soon as I read the To Kill a Mockingbird, I was done. I peaked.
No, I've read it, and I want to see it just to see how they adapted it to film because it's a pretty to call it pretty racy is a stretch, but I want to see what they do with it. But I can't drag my wife to see it.
20 minutes of sex scenes. Why not?
She has no interest. No interest
she
whatsoever.
Like sex.
She doesn't like sex.
That's whatever.
She doesn't like the doing it.
I'm gonna leave that one alone.
Does she listen to this podcast?
Yes, she does.
Hey, Scott's wife, do the sex.
She has a name,
huh? I don't want to name her on the show. Stephanie, do the sex.
Check her YouTube history and see how many times Magic Mike.
No. Here's the only reason
she's watched Magic Mike trailer 600 times.
My wife's already watched it like twice.
Here's the only reason I even actually got that book is we were traveling and she wanted to get an audiobook and she's like, well, everybody keeps talking about this 50 Shades of Grey book, let's get it. And I hadn't even heard about it at that point.
I can't imagine what the audiobook would be like.
So we got the audiobook and we got about four chapters in before it even got to anything like that. It was just she was so bored and like, this is terrible and it's not interesting whatsoever. I paid for the book and I'm like, I'm going to finish it. So I finished it up and she never has nothing. She was four chapters and it was done.
An audio version sounds like that might be pretty sexy.
Alone in the car.
Now alone. Yeah, obviously.
Dude,
didn't the book start out like as Twilight fan fiction or something like that?
I have no idea.
Twilight started out as fan fiction.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. From what you're saying, Scott?
No, when I was listening to it, I had.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry, Scotty.
It's okay.
Brian's absolutely right.
Look at that. Brian, let's spend a minute talking about how smart you are.
I'm going to take a knee real quick. It kind of knocked the wind out of me right there with that comment there. Sorry, hang on. One second.
You're still reeling.
Feels good, doesn't it? I never get that.
All right, I'm back.
What's it like? Right. What's it like, Brian? I'm wrong so often.
Ask me next week. It's going to take a little while to soak in. I ain't going to lie. I'm just glad to be here. Glad to be part of the team. Wait, I'm... I feel like I'm giving a Super Bowl speech. You
know? What's it like being MVP?
Just go ahead and drop off the podcast.
You know what? You just do your job. You just prepare every day like you're going to start. And then when you get that shot, you just seize it, you know?
Give 110%.
And if you look outside, you have your nice fourth.
And I got to give it up to the coaches. You know, they kind of set the pace for us. And, you know, I'm just here to do my part.
It's a team effort. To team effort.
That is the most words in the least amount of time I think I've ever heard Brian say.
It really is. That's usually what happens when I edit out the pauses, man.
Without a you know or basically.
Yep. You know.
Oh, I hate all three of you now. Sorry.
You could probably move on. I think we're sexed out.
All right. Let's move on. The third film and last, Kingsman: The Secret Service. Now, this is directed by Matthew Vaughn, whom some of you might know from such films as X-Men First Class. It stars, Colin Firth, Michael Caine, and apparently some young hot dude, apparently, who's going to be a British spy, Taron Egerton. Jesus, is that a British name? A veteran Secret Service agent takes a young upstart under his wing. Yep, that's all IMDb's got to say about this movie story. Scotty, what do you think about this one? Are you ready to see James Bond as a kid, or does this look a little silly to you?
Oh, no, I think it looks great. And my wife is stoked to see it as well. She actually saw the trailer a month or so ago and said, we're going to see that. And it's going to be on Valentine's
Tricker,
Day.
Tricker, go to the wrong movie. This is Kingsman.
Oh, this is just the trailer,
just wait,
honey.
Just wait. Just wait a minute. It's coming.
Yeah, it is.
No, this is all still a trailer for...
It's just a really long trailer.
This is how movies do things now.
You know, we talk about on the show all the time how they give away the whole movie in the trailer. That's what's happening.
They
just
gave
go with
away
it.
The entire movie. 2 hours of that movie has been given away.
No, I think it looks... And you didn't mention Samuel L. Jackson. He's in it, isn't he?
Oh, right, yeah. Yes.
Hey, every movie you've ever seen? Every movie you've ever seen?
He's the black guy.
He's the black guy. That's so funny.
Am I alone on my... I think it looks great.
This is... Brian, you take this. Go ahead.
Scott, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. This one does... The very first time I saw the trailer, I kind of thought it was a little bit hokey. And if I'm not mistaken, I've got to be wrong because I know I'm not right twice in a row. But this was actually supposed to have been released earlier, or I'm sorry, later last year.
Last October.
October, November, or something like that.
Yep.
So they kind of pushed it back which made me worry, like, okay, maybe my hunch is right. Maybe this is a pretty bad movie if they're pushing it back to the end of January, beginning of February. So, but the more I've seen, the more I'm digging it. And I think it's almost like Fast and the Furious mindset where you just got to just turn your brain off and just kind of have a good time with it. And I think if you do that, it'll be a pretty good movie.
God damn, Brian, I don't even know who you are anymore. That was like a whole sentence, not even a delay.
I'm going to punch you in the dick.
I want to see it. It looks great. It really does look great. And I don't know why they pushed it back. I would guess it's competition because I really don't think reviews so far are good. So I don't think it's something where it got pushed back because they were worried about the quality. I think it's just a matter of it was timing.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, World War Z got pushed back and that wound up being a pretty
cool
movie.
That's true.
Granted, that had to have a whole extra scene shot, but still.
And it's got Samuel L. Jackson with a lisp.
It talked so funny.
Yeah. I don't really like the lisp. I don't like that very much. But outside of that, it's okay.
Yeah, Kingsman is actually at a 78 Rotten Tomato rating. So, it's not doing too bad.
No, not bad at all.
All right, guys. Well, of these three films, What We Do in the Shadows, 50 Shades of Grey, and Kingsman, The Secret Service, which one are you most likely to run out and see? Aaron?
50 Shades of Grey.
Scotty?
Well, I already saw What We Do in the Shadows, and I want to see the other two, but since I have no one to go see 50 Shades of Grey with, I'm going to go with Kingsman.
Brian?
What kind of random endorsement is that?
I've got to go with Kingsman, and Scott, yeah, I mean, you have somebody to go see it with. I just think for your safety, it's a good idea if you did not go see it with him.
No, he's going to be in Hawaii.
Yeah, I'll be on vacation, brother. Sorry.
Oh,
and I'm not going to go by myself.
Go to a movie by himself.
Not that one.
No, not that one. I'm going to go by myself. I'll look like
the creeper.
Going with the trench coat. And
don't wear any.
It's the 21st century, dudes.
Wear shorts. Don't wear. I mean, you don't want to wear like nothing, but wear some shorts, but wear a trench coat so they think you're not wearing pants. And then just sit in the back and then slowly get some popcorn every once in a while.
And just a tie. No shirt underneath.
Absolutely.
It. Just a tie. And then.
And people were like, are you here with anybody?
No, nope.
But I could be.
Large tub of popcorn, please.
I'm going to have to go with What We Do in the Shadows because 50 Shades of Grey, I'll check out when it hits download. And Kingsman, The Secret Service, I like Matthew Vaughn, but a film about punk kids becoming spies, I'm too old. Get off my lawn. I'm not interested.
My God.
So What We Do in the Shadows.
I do want to say the kid doesn't work for me.
No. Everything. I don't like it. I see him and I'm like, ugh. And since he's the star, I'm afraid that's going to ruin the entire film for me.
Yeah, I kind of like him.
I don't. You know. Maybe it's the hat. I think the hat's really stupid.
Yes.
The Justin Bieber thing. Is that what it is?
Yeah, something. There's just something about it that says pompous teenager I want to punch in the face.
Well, it's part of the story, isn't it? Like he's supposed to be.
I don't know. Samuel Jackson. Yeah, I think he is.
He's supposed to be kind of an obnoxious shit. Which
yeah.
I mean, look at that down pat. Yeah, I'll agree because I'll agree with you. He doesn't really work a whole lot for me either. But I think the rest of them, the special effects, the gadgets, all that does. It looks like it's shot pretty well.
Well, I can't believe I'm comparing these two movies. But look at like Men in Black. Will Smith was a punk, and everyone thought he was awesome. Punk and
do not ever.
Yeah, let's not wait.
Will Smith.
All right, this is where I'm stepping off the with Scott bus.
No.
We're running away. Keep going. It's fun.
The comparison of the two movies, because Tommy Lee Jones recognized the skills that had, you know, and that's what's going on in this movie. He recognized some skills and recruited him for the Secret Service or whatever. Same kind of
thing.
The
alien Secret Service.
Okay, it's a fake. Yes.
It's not fake. It's real. You just don't remember because they did that thingy.
The flashy thingy. Yeah.
Flashy thing. That's the verb. No, but and he had this attitude and had to groom him for this kind of thing. It's the same kind of thing. He's just British.
I will give it a shot. I absolutely want to see it. I just, that's the one thing about the movie that doesn't work is that the lisp, well, I guess that's two things, the lisp and that kid. But we'll see. The kid might be great when it's all said and done. He might come out and he's like, wow, this kid should be James Bond, the next one.
Or it could be Hayden Christensen.
Whoa, easy killer. We'll talk about him enough later. box office. American Sniper came just shy of setting a Super Bowl record for the weekend with $30.6 million. It's already over $250 million total, still firing on all cylinders, so it's doing well. I bet they wish they could go back and erase this one. What's that?
A car reference for American Sniper?
Yeah.
Firing on all cylinders.
Hey, No.
There's firing.
Just using the word firing does not cut it. I need you to stop this podcast, rework that, and then come back.
That's not going to happen. Project Almanac flopped. Only $8.3 million, and we're going to find out why shortly. The Black or White or Empty was the case, really, as Costner's latest brought in only $6.2 million. Nobody went and saw it. That theater was bare.
Did you see any advertisements for it?
Yeah, I saw tons.
Did you?
Yeah. I think people were just burned out on race stuff. I mean, honestly, it's just...
Really? Well, did you read the news?
That's why I think people are burned out on racial things. Lastly, no one moved into The Loft as it made a pitiful $2.7 million, which is really sad. That movie, well, I'll talk about it shortly.
What's this movie?
Each week we play ours where a listener suggests a clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And next week we'll give you a proper host shout out. Last week's answer was Scott's pick, and it was The Social Network. Those that got it correct: Troy Heinrichs, Tommy Lynch, Kristen Du, Michael Lonergan, Craig Schermerhorn, Stephen White, Amy Hutchinson, Steve Peterson, and Shane Huens. Congratulations, guys. And now it's my turn. I haven't had one in a while, but if you think you know what it is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Here is your clip.
But we can only do the right as we see the right. And reverently commit our cause to God. If one and all we keep resolutely faithful to it, then with God's help we shall prevail.
All right, guys, that was a great clip, if I do say so my damn self. Now let's go to reviews. We've got a few movies to review. We'll try to keep some of them short, some of them not. We'll see what happens. The Loft is the first one. I saw that. It's about five guys who go in on a beautiful loft with which they will bring their mistresses to fornicate in silence. This is a movie you don't want to see with your wife. Trust me. Found this out the hard way.
Silence or secrecy?
Both.
Because a silent, you know,
that sound like a good
one
time.
Of the points of having a loft to bang your mistress is to be loud.
Hey, however you choose to do it, man. There's right, five of them. Right. Some of them like to be quiet.
Okay.
One day they find a murdered blonde in the loft, meaning only one of them could have killed her. Obviously. Or does it? So who did it? That's really what the movie's about. It ends up being a murder mystery. It's got Carl Urban, James Marsden, Wentworth Miller from Prison Break fame, starring a very Hitchcockian mystery. And I love using that word when it actually applies. It surprised me more than once. It's a remake of a Belgian film. Eric Van Looy directed it. I think he put a lot of style and a lot of momentum in it. He kept me guessing all the way through the end. I was very happy with it. It's unfortunate that nobody's going to see it because it didn't do very well at the box office. And when we finally get the twist ending, which a lot of mysteries like this have, it actually makes sense as opposed to a lot of them that I've seen where it feels like they just throw the twist in. This actually works. It's a bit cheesy in spots, like when a prostitute has to explain what she does three separate times. I don't quite understand that. But overall, solid murder mystery. $10 the full price of admission. I give it $6. Scott, you and I, but I don't really need to comment. Saw Project Almanac.
Yes, we did, unfortunately. If you've seen the trailer, it pretty much is a straightforward. David Raskin's this kid at school. He's a really smart high school kid. But he has trouble fitting in with the popular kids at school. When he's younger, his dad apparently mysteriously leaves. He doesn't know why. At the same time, he's trying to get into MIT. He's got a group of friends who are also equally socially awkward. After some interesting discoveries involving a videotape of his birthday party when he's a kid, he finds out that his dad has some plans in his workshop on how to build a time machine. It happens. He and his buddies spend most of the first half of the movie figuring out how to put together this time machine.
A really long time.
Really long time. And as expected,
time machine's a little complicated.
Not when your dad left the plans.
You don't just head down to, Radio Shack.
Actually, you
pick
did.
Pick up a flux capacitor.
Actually,
Seen Radio Shack? Yeah, I think you can.
So as expected with most time travel movies, you get the fun part where they do some fun things and go visit in the past, whatever. But then things get out of hand fast. Wrongs must be righted, yada, yada, yada. And it should be noted also this is a found footage movie. We'll get into that later. But for me, the story felt like a hodgepodge of ideas that just didn't quite work. The time travel rules weren't really established, and the ones that were even there weren't really stuck to, so it just didn't work. And they, like we said, they spent way too much time with the setup without nearly enough payoff. I would have kind of liked less explanation of how they built the time machine and more time with the fun aspects of time travel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? These movies always go south, and this one went south too quickly. I wanted to see more fun, have some more fun with it. You know what I mean? And
I would have just been happy if they made sense with it.
That too. But it really didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I did like the aspect that they were limited to traveling back to short distances. They couldn't go back to like the 50s, Back to the Future mm-hmm. style or something like that. It was like within 3 months, I think, is as far back as they went or something like that. That was kind of a new concept and a new twist, but it just went so many awkward directions, didn't work. But as much as the story didn't work, I will say that I like some of the actors that were in it. Again, it's no names that you'll recognize, but I think it was a bright spot for the film. I could see this being a springboard for some of those younger actors to, this be their start. Except for the one kid, this kid named Sam Lerner. He played the Jewish kid in the movie. He was laughably bad. Mm-hmm. He just felt like he was acting. And then coming back to the found footage aspect, this is one of those few films. I like found footage, and this is the one that I thought there absolutely was no reason for it to be found footage. It was just an excuse to be shaky cam. It didn't feel real. There were so many instances where, why is this person holding the camera in right now? Or who is holding the camera?
Who is the better question? I'm like, who the fuck is holding this camera?
And if the camera is just sitting still, why is it moving around like somebody's holding it? It just didn't make any sense. It actually detracted from the film instead of adding to it. And I actually got physically sick a couple times. Not like I was throwing up or anything, but I felt nauseous and got a headache from just moving around.
From the story? Because I felt like that from the story.
More from the actual motion, but
trying to think about the time travel point. I'm like, what?
So to wrap up, Project Almanac had a lot of promise, but left me feeling severely disappointed in what it really could have been. With a tighter script, a normal film format, the quality actors could have had a better chance to shine, but instead the sloppy storytelling left me more frustrated than entertained. And I actually dropped my initial score on this one, which I rarely do, after I thought about it some more. If $10 were the full price of admission, I would give it $3.50.
It's better than I gave it. Justin, you saw Predestination.
Yeah, speaking of time travel, Predestination is a movie that was written and directed by the Spirig brothers. I don't know why these guys have to call themselves the brothers. There's like, what, four or five different brother teams out there doing movies. But they also did Daybreakers, which Ethan Hawke starred in. He also stars in this one along with Sarah Snook. It's based on a short story written by Robert Heinlein. The short story is called All You Zombies. And when you watch the film, you kind of learn why that title is used. And surprisingly, the book, the movie follows the short story really faithfully. There's an addition made to the story for the film. It kind of helps explain one aspect of it, but ultimately it kind of seems rather pointless because the entire purpose of this film is the relationship between Ethan Hawke's character and Sarah Snook's character. It's a really fun movie because it uses time travel in a way that I've never seen before. But if you're a fan of Heinlein, especially if you've read some of his books like Time Enough for Love or To Sail Beyond the Sunset, you know that when it comes to sex, Heinlein can get, what's the word for it? He can get quirky with it.
Quirky or creepy? Which one are we going?
A little creepy, but kind of quirky. A lot, you know, his book "Strangers in a Strange Land." A lot of people say that it was one of the things that sparked the sexual revolution. There is strange sex in that. It gets even stranger in other books, and in this film, the relationships that have evolved are wackadoo. But it's interesting to see the way they pull it off. By the end of the movie, it's about a 90-minute movie, so you're not into a huge investment of time. They don't really explain how the time travel works at all. They give very limited explanation, but you don't need it. You just watch the movie for the performance. It's not a movie that follows traditional scene breaks and acts. In fact, probably the first third of the movie is nothing but a conversation between these two characters that after a while, I'm kind of like, Jesus Christ, are they going to move on to something else? But it all serves a purpose. In the end, it's not a movie for everyone, but if you like time travel stories, then I definitely think you should check it out because it is one of the more unique ones that I've seen. $1 out of $10, I'd give this a solid $6.50. Not great, but certainly not bad.
I definitely want to see that. I definitely want to see it. Lastly, The Voices, which hits VOD February 6th, so probably around the time you're listening to this or it's already been there, stars Ryan Reynolds as Jerry. He's a very nice man who was recently released from a psychiatric facility. A lot of nice guys are. And apparently what Jerry hears are voices. And when I say he hears voices, his animals talk to him. His cat, his dog.
I'm listening.
A lot of animals talk to him.
Right.
Yeah, Scott, in your house, man, your whole house would light up. Well, Jerry begins to become a little obsessed with two ladies in his office, played by Gemma Arterton and Anna Kendrick. So you can totally understand why he would be obsessed with both of them.
You're speaking my language.
Hell yeah.
We kind of begin to see exactly how psychotic Jerry truly can be. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it one more time. I grew up in a house where psychology was a daily topic. My mom, it was her profession for decades. So anytime a movie broaches that topic, it really makes me nervous because I spent so much time living it. I kind of understand how it works and they usually get it wrong, especially when you're talking schizophrenia and that sort of thing. And when this movie is trying to be a black comedy, there's even more potential for them to get a lot of stuff wrong that for me personally irritates me. Thankfully, it's honestly one of the better black comedies I've seen in a long time. It reminded me very much of like a Donnie Darko, being a very, very dark movie, but with a lot of comedic elements and a really out there story. The entire film is shot from Jerry's perspective. And what I mean by that is they basically, you see the full reality from what Jerry is seeing. So if he actually takes his meds, then you see exactly how severe the situation really is, like what's really going on, what he's really doing. And as soon as he gets off his meds or his meds stop working, then it goes back to where Jerry's schizophrenia state, which is brightly lit. Everything seems reasonable. He's talking to his animals and severed limbs again. you know, it's a,
severed limbs.
Yeah, yeah. He's a murderous schizophrenic. I forgot. I left that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Black comedy.
Minor detail.
Dark. Very, very dark. Ryan Reynolds does the best acting I've ever seen from him because he actually has to balance that comedic aspect, which he's very good at, with dramatic, which I really don't think he's been able to showcase very well in some of the movies he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He really has to marry the two, and I think he does a very good job. I was actually impressed with Ryan Reynolds.
Hmm.
And you have a film about a guy who has long conversations with animals in severed parts, like I said. So this is not going to be for everybody. But I personally really enjoyed it. Laughed at things I really shouldn't have. It's not a happy movie. Although there's definitely parts where you're gonna be smiling and you probably shouldn't. If $10 is the full price of admission, I give it $7.
Hmm.
And the end credits are probably the most insane thing I've seen in a movie in a long time.
I want to see this movie. Now, when you say he talks to the animals, do they talk back and like their mouths move?
His cat is basically like an evil. It's almost like a angel and devil on his shoulder, right? The cat is the evil.
No wonder
kill
you
him,
liked
Jerry.
It. That's
kill
why
him,
you
Jerry.
Liked it.
And the dog's like, hey, Jerry, don't do that. And for some reason, they're both Ryan Reynolds voicing the animals that he talks to. And the cat's got like a Scottish accent, and the dog sounds like Eeyore for whatever reason. It works when you see the movie, but it does take a little bit before you get behind it. Because there's definitely a moment or a few minutes where you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then once it starts going, you start understanding how things are really
But working. Do they make the mouths move?
Yep.
Like,
yep. The mouths move.
Full on Sam Raimi kind of shit?
Oh, yeah. It's out there.
And the real animals are not puppets or anything like that?
I don't think they're really talking.
No, I know, but...
I mean, that's some training I'm not ready for.
I mean, they didn't pull like a Sabrina the Teenage Witch and have a puppet cat that's talking?
No, it's like a cat, and they just have the CGI making the mouth move.
Oh, okay.
And Gemma Arterton and Anna Kendrick are both very good in the movie. And when you put them together, it's obvious Gemma Arterton is hot and Anna Kendrick is just cute. Just saying. Illustrating my point, Anna Kendrick is great because of her personality.
I'm not even dignifying this.
Let's go to Blu-ray and DVD, Scott.
No video on demand this week, but got a few on disc. The first is Nightcrawler. Aaron reviewed this back on episode 165.
Aaron
Justin.
And Justin.
when I say Aaron, I assume that means you too, so...
I don't really know what that means.
We are not a couple. We are not shipping.
We are simpatico.
Aaron gave it a $9, and Justin gave it $8.50.
My favorite movie of the year.
I am really looking forward to seeing that one. Actually, I'm planning to watch that with a couple listeners when it comes out on disc next week, so we're having a movie night. Also, Alexander...
Glad I was invited.
You already saw it. You want to watch it again?
Not now. I don't want to be like the pity invite. God.
It's not a pity invite. I thought you wouldn't want to drive all the way down across town to see a movie.
That's usually, isn't
yes,
it?
It is.
Isn't it? It sounds like it.
Oh, jeez.
No, that's cool. I don't need friends.
That's
what
true.
What are you doing next week, Justin? You want to watch Nightcrawler?
I've got stuff to do.
Got to wash his hair.
Brian, you want to watch Nightcrawler?
I got to wash my hair.
You're bald.
Still,
I'll find some.
Ew, I just thought of some.
Also, Alexander and the Terrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It's a movie based on the children's book. This one stars Steve Carell. None of us got a chance to see that one, unfortunately, but I probably will be checking it out. A lot of the kids at school are talking about it.
You going to have a movie night where I'm not invited?
No. Well,
are you going to invite a bunch of your students into your home?
No. No. Yeah.
Kids, come on over. It's normal.
No.
Come over about 9 o'clock.
Do not start any rumors about me. Rosewater. This is the one that you guys are really interested in, especially mm-hmm. because Jon Stewart directed it.
Absolutely.
Iranian-Canadian journalist Mazyar Bahari is detained by Iranian forces who brutally interrogate him under suspicion that he is a spy. We talked about it a little bit before. It seems like it had Oscar bait written all over it. Was it nominated?
No.
I don't remember.
It wasn't successful, Oscar bait. So.
Yeah, so... and then the last one, I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Force Majeure.
Yes.
A family on ski holiday in the French Alps find themselves staring down an avalanche during lunch one day. In the aftermath, their dynamic has been shaken to its core, with a question mark hanging over their patriarch in particular.
Mm.
Sounds kind of interesting. With that, we're going to move on.
Overwhelming force. Sorry.
We're going to move on to our fun little segment where we like to have a little fun with ourselves and with you guys. And... I'm going to rephrase that.
Nope, it's not going anywhere. Might as well just keep going.
Those of us who have listened to us for quite a while and remember some of our games, we have recasting the classics and others. This week we're doing Stump the Hoe, bringing back that one. This is where one of us hoes brings to the table a question in an attempt to stump all of us at the table, as well as those of you listening at home. This week it's Justin's turn, so Justin, stump us.
All right, well, earlier The Social Network was mentioned because Scotty did pull a clip from it for last week's episode. During one of the deposition scenes in The Social Network, it's mentioned that the invention of Facebook made Mark Zuckerberg, quote, the biggest thing on a campus that included 19 Nobel laureates, 15 Pulitzer Prize winners, 2 future Olympians, and a movie star. One of the lawyers then asks, who was the movie star? And the response is, does it matter? This movie star was, in fact, who?
Ooh.
She was also enrolled at Harvard during this time and helped Aaron Sorkin, the screenwriter, by providing him insider information about goings-on at Harvard at the time Facebook first appeared there. Was it A, Natalie Portman, B, Emma Watson, C, Anne Hathaway, or D, Rachel McAdams?
Natalie Portman.
Fuck you guys.
Yay!
Was it the Harvard mention?
No, it was Aaron nodding his head vigorously as soon as you said her name. I'm going to be honest.
He was shaking it so hard, I saw it.
Exactly. All of those actresses, by the way, did go to colleges and received degrees. I think a couple of them were Ivy League, so I was kind of hoping that would muddy the waters, but apparently it did not.
Sorry, I knew the answer.
There you go.
If that helps.
It doesn't, so shut the fuck up.
Now let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Each week we talk about a topic that's on ours or our listeners' minds, and this week it is love, kinda. Last year on Valentine's Day, we talked a bit about love and what warms the cockles of our hearts.
Cockles.
I just wanted to use that in a sentence, really. We're going to do that again this year, but we're going to do it a little different. So you're watching a movie about a relationship. It's a comedy, drama, Wachowski movie, whatever. And then something happens that takes you aback and makes you realize that these two should be with anybody else on the entire planet than each other. This week, we're going to talk about movies where the couples just don't work. Sometimes the stars have no chemistry. Other times the writing is just awful. Justin, what does it take for you to finally realize this couple and this movie do not belong together?
For me, it's all about chemistry. It's one of those things that either it's there or it is not. And when it is not, it is apparent to just about everyone watching the movie. And you have to wonder, were these two people screen tested together? Did they do what they call a chemistry test? Or were they just hired independently and then just slapped together? And you never know what's going to make that chemistry work, because some films, the couple are played by movie stars that are beautiful, and in every other way they should make a perfect screen couple, but for whatever intrinsic little reason, they're just not. And if that chemistry is not there, it's just painful. And I will have some examples coming up.
I hate that thing, the weird kissing thing.
The weird,
you know what I mean? Like where you go in for they go in, they kiss each other, and you can tell like they just can't make it work. They weren't meant to ever kiss. And it just seems like two cardboard faces rubbing each other. It just looks awkward and creepy a little bit.
Yeah.
That always takes me out of, like, that'll stop a movie dead for me. Dead. And there's a lot of older movies did that where nobody would open their mouths, which who kisses like that? Who kisses with their mouths closed and just rubbing their faces back and forth? I've never seen anybody actually do that.
I'm trying to think of where that happened.
I've seen a lot of movies where that happened, where it's just too, like they don't, it's no Frenching. You know what I mean? They just, that's it.
People,
that's my kissing.
People that are really in love.
Don't open their mouths?
I don't know.
I've seen movies where like people have sex, but they don't open their mouths to kiss. And I don't understand that. So I don't know how that works.
For me, it's just, you can kind of tell when neither person wants to be there. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, both of the actors are just like, they're just there for a pay. They're just working. You know what I mean? Some people really get into it. and some people just don't want to be there. If I don't buy it, if I don't sit there and think, I could see these two in real life being a couple. Like, you see some couples like, you know what, I could almost, outside of this movie, if I saw them on the street, and I could say they make a cute couple. And if it's not in the movie, it's not gonna work for me. They just don't belong to, they just are awkward together.
They seem more like a brother and sister.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you guys look alike.
They're kissing cousins.
I can't
something.
Do that.
Hey, sir, the Lannisters managed to make that work.
That's true.
I mean, at least they've got some fucking chemistry.
That's true. For brother and sister, man, I really want them to do it. Brian, what about you? What takes you out of it?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just if they're just trying to look like they're just there for a paycheck and like, okay, hey, look, we got a kiss. All right, you ready? I'm ready. Let's go. Bam. And then it's it. And it's just, it doesn't, there's no heat. So
there's no heat.
Like, what do you think it typically is? Writing or just mismatched actors?
For me, it's writing. And yet, you know, and the chemistry thing is one thing. And I, to a certain extent, I kind of, you know, agree with that. But, you know, with the writing, let's say Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson, mm-hmm. they were great together in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, mm-hmm. but were crap together in Fool's Gold.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's a good point.
So you've got the exact, you know, and there's not many cases where you have the same actor and actress paired up in multiple movies. And I think that's, you know, that's one of it. I just think the writing is a big part of it. Now, it may not be the complete answer, but I think it is a big part of it where, you know, if the chemistry is not there also, then of course that's just a train wreck. But the writing to me is a bigger issue.
Speaking to your point, the same thing with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Because I mean, the first two movies they did was Joe Versus the Volcano and Sleepless in Seattle. Great chemistry. And then you go and watch You've Got Mail, and that was just dog shit. Like, I didn't feel anything between the two of them at all. And it could have been just a script or something, but you knew that they had some chemistry. But
well, I mean,
but who knows what was going on the set, you know, or their personal lives that threw that chemistry off.
Well, and then you've got, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. They were actually married, and they did two movies, and neither one of them did they have any chemistry.
Yeah. Well, you quite often, for some reason, find that real life couples can sometimes, it's kind of icky when you see them engaging in sex or kissing. It's kind of like, whoa, can you save that for your own bedroom, people? It the fact that it's a real life relationship doesn't always mean that it's going to work when it comes to a movie. Writing could definitely be bad. I mean, fuck, I'm sure it was going to come up at some point. Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen, episode 2 and 3, not the best writing in the world. But I think if you had quality actors, good actors can make bad writing palatable. It can maybe even make it sing. But give the greatest writing in the world to a couple of people that have no chemistry nor the ability to mimic it, and you're just fucking dead in the water.
Yeah, but if you're a good actor, and even if the chemistry isn't there between you, like physically or whatever, can't you act your way through it if you're a good actor?
I don't know. Can you fake sexual tension? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an actor. I'm not good at it. But I would think that if
women
you're a good
actor,
women
do it to us all the time.
Yeah, they're nice to me all the time. No, they're not. No, but I mean, can't you just like act your way out of it and do a good job? I mean,
obviously not. Obviously not.
For me, I gotta attribute it more to the writing, like Brian said, because I think if the script is really bad, the writing's really bad, the actors know it, and they're just there, just going through the motions at that point. They're not even gonna try anymore because they're like, this script is terrible. Why am I gonna put my good effort forth? You know what I mean?
I think if there's natural chemistry, it's going to – I think – was it Justin said that? I think Justin's right. You take,
what?
Hang on.
Hold on. I got to take a knee.
You take you take Richard Gere and Julia Roberts, right? Mm. What was it? Pretty Woman. Great, great movie. Great
Runaway
chemistry.
Bride.
Everything about it was just beautiful. It's just – but then you go see Runaway Bride, which is a shit movie. But I still think they have chemistry. I still think they – if they in real life, they probably ended up doing it. That's what it feels like when you watch those movies. Is you have to think.
Yeah, but that was writing. That was a good written. Pretty Woman was well written.
Yeah, but
Runaway
I'm saying
Bride
Runaway.
Wasn't.
Yeah, but their chemistry was still good. So those two actors just had good chemistry. They worked. And Runaway Bride was a shit script.
Or they're just good actors.
Yeah, I guess that could be it. I don't know. But Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan couldn't make it work for You've Got Mail. And at least Natalie Portman is a good actress. So at least right. She could have seemed into it. She didn't. She's more like, damn it, George.
She was a good Queen Amidala, though, in episode one.
Yes.
And then when you
but
throw
the person she had to act against was complete wooden turd.
Right.
Not according to Nick Cage. He said he was dark and edgy.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go pick up my compliments from Nick Cage.
It's Nick Cage now saying it, too. It's not like old Nick
Cage.
Yeah.
No, he said it on the set of Con Air.
He did. He's like, you know.
As he was combing that mullet.
As he was stroking the mullet. Oh, that's funny. Can you get past it if the actors just don't click? Like, say the story's really good. Can you get past it? Or is it just something that's going to
Yeah, I think so. For me, it was an example of that as Titanic. I don't think necessarily, for me anyway, I really didn't buy a love story.
Oh,
I just didn't.
I just
I did.
She's a fantastic actress. He is too. But I just don't. It just never felt like it was as deep of a love story as it was portrayed to be.
Well, I mean, it was
not
over
at the end. She drowned him.
I mean,
because there was room, bitch.
Yeah, there was room. Yeah. Share, goddammit.
Couldn't you have taken turns?
No, Jack. I'm so
Yeah,
cold.
I gotta disagree with you about Titanic, or at least as far as their chemistry goes. Well, I bought it.
You gotta remember, too, that that story took place over how many days? You know, it wasn't like a deep rooted love affair. It was
supposed to be, though.
That was the whole allure of the movie, though, is this fantastic love affair that lasted with this woman for the 174 years that she was alive.
Well, some would argue the ship sinking was a big part of the movie.
That was just a subplot.
Hey, the song was "My Heart Will Go On," not "This Ship Will Sail."
Thank you, Celine Dion. That's not attributed to Leo or Kate.
Oh, that's too funny.
And then she threw her heart in the ocean.
Yeah. Stupid wench. You drown him and then you don't even keep the goddamn necklace.
Alzheimer's a bitch.
She's probably in the wrong ocean, too.
It's totally wrong spot. They'd already
in the Gulf of Mexico.
Rose, we're almost home. Why are you throwing
She could have been on a riverboat.
Viking river cruise at the Danube.
By the way, if those people had seen her holding that diamond, they would have tackled her ass to the ground.
I would have been diving into that frozen water.
Oh, no, you wouldn't have.
Yes, I would have.
The last place I would allow her to be is alone on the side, on the edge of a ship.
Yeah,
with that
holding
necklace.
A multi-bazillion dollar necklace.
Well, they didn't know she had it.
They did at the
That's
end.
That's true.
Then she threw it.
They would have known as I'm screaming and jumping over the edge.
You're the one at Aaron's party that was working out the physics of why that car couldn't make it from one to the other, wasn't it? Wasn't you, Scott?
Why?
Wasn't me. Yes,
Say
wasn't
it,
me.
Scott, say it.
Yes, I was. Wasn't me. Wasn't me?
It wasn't you.
It would have been you.
It were me.
But it weren't you. All right. What are some films that you would have otherwise enjoyed, except you just couldn't buy the couple at the center of the relationship, or essentially just the worst movie couples?
Well, Justin mentioned the big one, Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman, but a couple others stuck out for me. Adam Sandler and Kate Beckinsale in Beckinsale in Click.
Yeah, they don't work.
You could have put any other female from any other fucking movie with Adam Sandler, and still it would have worked. I mean, it would have been appropriate for this conversation.
I thought Drew Barrymore and him worked okay.
They did.
In Wedding Singer.
And 51st
and
Dates.
And 51st Dates.
Or whatever that is.
But but in Click, she just seemed way out of his league.
It just didn't click. It just didn't.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's too easy.
And my other one was... And there's a couple of two or three reasons why this one just didn't work. But Harrison Ford and Anne Hesh in Six Days and Seven Nights.
so bad.
Well, number one, she doesn't like dudes
in
real
life. Well, not that should matter, because I have seen gay actors macking out with actors of the opposite sex in it.
And I've seen, you know, straight actors.
It doesn't
actors.
Stick out like a sore thumb.
Doogie Howser still, I am convinced, is a sex hound from the Harold and Kumar movie.
Fair point. So, but also,
he is gay as the day
he
as
was
long.
Old enough to be her grandfather by that point.
Grandpas need love too, brother.
Well, but it just, it, you never bought that that she was attracted to him in any way.
No, that whole movie, I thought he hated her, actually. I'm like, she hates him, and I think in real life, they fucking hated each other.
Didn't he tell her in the movie that her tits were too narrow or something like that?
Something like that.
That's not where love springs from, her comments like that.
That's all I had. Sorry, I stole yours, Justin. But
some bitch. I got another, but that's fine.
That's all right. You got any more, Scott?
No, that's it.
All right, Justin, what do you got?
Well, the only other one I wanted to mention, and I still love the movie in spite of these two actors, but Helen Hunt and Jack Nicholson, and As Good As It Gets, I never once bought that these two were attracted to each other. In fact, with the cantankerousness of his character, there were times when I actually felt like she didn't like him at all, or maybe even a little afraid of him. I didn't buy that relationship one little bit.
Afraid of him? She's like the only one that stood up to him.
But there were looks in her face that just, it didn't look like a look of love. Never felt the love in those two.
Yeah, that's a good example of chemistry that doesn't work, but the movie's still pretty great. Because that movie was great.
It's a great movie in spite of those two just really not coming together, gelling.
Greg Kinnear was a real star of that movie. I thought he was awesome in that movie.
He was good. Maybe it's Helen Hunt, because remember her and Bill Paxton, Twister, that didn't work either. That was not a relationship I bought either. I'm like, why the hell does she want him back?
I forgot about that.
There was a relationship in that movie?
Yeah, they were.
They kept saying there was.
Remember? No, I don't think so. I saw lots of Twisters.
He's the extreme.
That's no moon.
Oh, God.
What?
Yeah, there was a line in the movie where they pointed and said, "That's no moon, that's a space station."
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I don't remember.
Star Wars reference to Twister. Come on.
Keep up, Scott. Justin, do you have any more?
Nah, that was it.
Brian, what do you got?
It's actually kind of a two-parter. Catherine Zeta-Jones and pretty much just about anybody you pair her with. Sean Connery.
Oh, God.
Just one of the, in Entrapment, which was...
So creepy.
Yeah, it was just weird. I'm not even sure he knew what was going on.
No. And she's slinking around those lasers, and he just looks like a dirty grandpa.
But also her with Brad Pitt in Ocean's 12.
Yeah, that didn't work. That didn't work.
Stop. You don't even look like, I mean, just, you don't act like a couple. You don't look like a couple. Just stop.
That movie sucked just in general.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it would have helped had they had some chemistry.
True.
It was just one more brick in that pile, I guess.
One more brick in that pile. But her and Antonio Banderas were great. And the Zorro movies, I love them. Absolutely love them. So I don't think she's incapable.
And she quite loved Tom Cruise in Rock of Ages.
I still haven't seen it.
I like Rock of Ages.
Wouldn't really call them
they weren't a couple.
They weren't a couple. But she was definitely feeling it.
She was feeling it.
Oh, yeah. She was.
Anybody else, Brian?
I'm good. That's it.
I thought of another one. Could I throw one more in? And it's kind of cheating, but...
How is it cheating?
Because it's not supposed to be. They're not supposed to have chemistry in this example.
Okay.
In Machete.
Who?
Jessica Alba.
Oh,
and,
God. And yeah.
Danny Trejo.
God, that was the creepiest kiss
the
ever.
The scene when they kissed each other, it was like, whoa.
I threw up in my mouth.
Seriously, it was...
I remember seeing it at a theater and the whole audience went, oh, God.
Yep. I saw it with you and your wife.
The whole everybody.
I think your wife like screamed a little.
Yeah, she was grossed out. She's grossed out. She's like,
you know, Danny Trejo, that's probably the shining moment.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah.
Of that movie.
He's like, can we thank you, Robert Rodriguez.
Can we do that take again? I wasn't feeling that. We should.
I'd just take up like 20 times.
I'd keep doing it. I'm like, I don't think I can get this right, man. We might have to come back tomorrow. I'm Machete. What you gonna do? I've got a couple left that you guys haven't taken. Ron and Hermione in the Harry Potter movies.
Mm.
That works for the books too. I never know.
It just doesn't work ever. Like
Harry and her.
Yes. And her and Emma Watson and Daniel Radcliffe, they had a chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ron just, you know, he's kind of like, you got lucky. How'd you end up with her? Because you don't deserve her.
Do you think Ron was miscast?
I don't think those parts were written, at least for the movies. I can't speak to the books, but I don't think they were written well enough to where the relationship made sense.
No, even in the books, it never really made sense. She's too smart to fall in love with a dumbass like him.
Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis in Top Gun. Love the movie. Don't buy them as a couple ever. Not
really?
Once.
I kind of bought.
Dude, she looks like a man.
The sexual attraction. I never bought a love. But definitely, I thought they had some sexy, sexy sparks.
Come on, that was the most awkward shadow kissing I've ever seen in a movie ever.
That's one of the greatest shadow kissing in any movie ever.
No,
he was licking her nose.
I bought the sexual tension between him and Val Kilmer on the volleyball court.
Playing like dogs,
more than I bought. You know those two. No,
you dress up like Pokemon whenever on Freaky Night.
Yeah, it's no on the train sex like from Risky Business Tracy Lords or whatever the fuck her name was.
Oh, Billy.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Rebecca De Mornay.
It was a little bit before Tracy Lords.
Yeah, I bought it in.
I didn't.
Top Gun.
Him and Goose, I would have bought, but her, no, nope. The last one, Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. In My Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Never.
Shut up.
Not 1 second. I know Costner's your love child.
I know, but I agree with you.
It's just, there's.
I had to argue for a second. All right.
And I remember when that came out, I went with a bunch of people. This is a true story because racism is everywhere. And everybody's like, well, that's just because she's black. What? She's one of the most gorgeous women on the planet. I just think they have zero connection. Zero. What? Yeah, it's the cocaine.
Little booger sugar clogging up there, bruh.
You should have seen the look he gave me. He was about ready to like clock me one for making noise on the mic.
I thought he was blowing his nose and like, oh, cocaine, because she snorted the cocaine.
Is the Mad Dogging you were talking about when he was gone? Glad he wasn't around a Mad Dog yet.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, listeners, what are our listeners' picks, guys?
Well, first up, we got Josh Steinman and Amy Hutchinson, who both said Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman. Actually, wait, Hayden Christensen and anyone.
That's pretty funny. Yep. Brian, what is so funny?
It was just the way Scott said Amy Hutchinson.
Like he's Chinese?
Like, hello. Yeah. I don't know. It was Brian Boitano or something.
I don't know.
Next.
Craig Shermerhorn says Katherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher in Killers.
That's a good one.
Pablo Meza says William Baldwin and Cindy Crawford.
Oh, God, that's awful.
But what movie was that?
She was naked. Fair game.
Hmm.
Yeah, you don't need to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Google it, and you'll see her picture, and that's all you need.
Marcus Shelton says Andy Garcia and Sofia Coppola.
Is that Godfather 3?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
They were cousins, and they hooked up.
Was there chemistry? Because I really don't remember.
Nah, there really wasn't. You kind of forget their family. You kind of forget they're even into each other. And then it was just weird.
Okay. Next.
Steve Peterson says Neo and Trinity, to which I have to vehemently disagree.
Oh,
I thought they had a lot of chemistry.
I'm just glad it worked out that you got to say it.
Me too. Steve Peterson, you are wrong.
I agree with you, Steve.
I agree with you too, Steve. Sorry.
You are all wrong. Your opinions are so dumb.
I just like pissing off Justin. So, yeah, you're right, Steve.
Although they both look good in leather, if that helps.
Whoa. Paul Showalter and Anna Maria Germo says the Twilight couple, Bella and Edward.
Jim.
Yeah. I actually bought Bella and Edward much more than I bought Bella and Wolf Boy.
Oh, that was awful. That dude sucked.
I'm hotter than you.
Taylor Lautner has no chemistry with anyone.
He's
got chemistry with his abs.
Yeah, with his pecs and abs, but that's about as far as it goes.
I could like see him looking at his abs while he's talking to Bella. He's like, hey, I've been working out. You like this? Check this out. And then he starts rubbing his nipples.
Jonathan Spears says Katherine Heigl and Seth Rogen in Knocked Up. That's a really good one.
It is. And the sad part is at the end, they're supposed to seem like they get into each other, and they don't at all.
Yeah. Maybe what's the common denominator here?
What's that?
Does Katherine Heigl have chemistry with anyone?
I was just going to say. She's
hate.
The...
She's got hate with everyone.
What's especially that? No studio executives.
Yeah. What's that one she did with Gerard Butler?
The bow one for the money.
Yeah, was it where he's like the TV guy?
I know which one you're talking about, but One for the Money was the Bounty Hunter movie.
No, Bounty Hunter
was with Gerard Butler.
Yeah, One for the Money.
Okay.
Or was One for the Money
One for the Money was
Jennifer Aniston.
No, that was All Right.
Bounty Hunter.
Bounty Hunter was the one with Jennifer Aniston.
You guys talk. I'll find it while you're finishing.
No, but is she the common denominator? What movie has she had good chemistry with somebody? Can you think of one?
I don't know, but if she came over, I'd try.
That's the thing is she's so cute, but
the ugly truth. That's the
ugly truth. Yes.
Ah, all right. Marcus Eckhoff says Jennifer Aniston and anyone she is with. I disagree, sir. I thought she had a lot of chemistry with Homeboy and We're the Millers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think her and Jason Sudeikis in Horrible Bosses worked pretty well.
They weren't.
Couple. She was with Charlie Day in that one.
Or Charlie Day, whichever one she ended up banging. Or no, she wanted to bang Charlie Day. That's what it was.
Now that never made any sense. What a hot woman like her would want with that troll?
In the second one, it makes sense. They actually explain it. They explain it and it makes sense. I'm telling you.
It did better.
It does.
Better. It's like, then again, you know what? Christina Hendricks is married to her troll, so it happens.
Next.
Where are we at?
We're still doing the podcast, Brian.
Oh, okay.
David McGrath.
All right, David McGrath says Harrison Ford and Anne Heche in 6 Days, 7 Nights. I think we kind of covered that one pretty well.
Scott Calguero says Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver in Ghostbusters. Watch the kiss at the end. I'm pretty sure she ran and rinsed her mouth out after that scene.
Yeah, because she was a demon dog. She felt dirty.
Well, if she was a dog, she's probably used to licking her butt, so...
So that was a downgrade? Is that what you're saying? Bill Murray was...
Yeah, kind of.
All right.
Tommy Lynch says J-Lo and Voldemort.
Oh, from Made Manhattan. Nice.
Ray Fiennes.
Ray Fiennes.
The only actor I think Jennifer Lopez has ever had chemistry with on screen...
George Clooney.
...was Clooney. Yeah, in Out of Sight.
You actually sat there and said, after I said it out loud.
Well, I was talking when you said it, so I didn't hear you.
I think it was more of Justin's like, I didn't think about it. I didn't want to hear it.
Nope,
I don't hear Aaron.
Didn't hear your dumb voice.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I get. Who's next?
David Chris Moore says, John Hartigan and Nancy Callahan from Sin City. Not a single part of that could be considered normal behavior.
I agree. It always grossed me out.
Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks weekly podcast says Adam Sandler and Selma Hayek.
I just want to say that's the only time I've ever seen Selma Hayek where I didn't think the guy wanted to sleep with her.
What movie is this?
It's from Grown Ups.
Oh.
And you're next to one of the most gorgeous women on the planet, and he just looks like he could care less. I don't get it.
I think if we could get Adam Sandler together with Katherine Heigl, you would have so negative chemistry that the whole set would just implode. No boners for miles. And Leo Logan says Madonna and Sean Penn in Shanghai Surprise.
Oh, that's a great – that's good. They were
never
awful.
Thought.
Oh, God, that was an awful movie.
That's why I didn't see it.
Yep. Good call.
Justin, I think you just got the title for your next book. No boners for miles.
No boners for miles. That's a horror story if I've ever heard one.
Hashtag no boners for miles. All right. Now we've got a few minutes before we wrap up the show. So we're going to end on a positive note because we've been talking about all this negativity. Let's get a little bit personal. I said we would for the, I guess, Valentine's Day edition, basically, of The Hollywood Outsider. And we're trying to get, you got a week and a half before Valentine's Day.
Have you started the Barry White in the background?
I'm going to hum it while you guys talk. We will have, we all have kind of a few years of dating, marriage, bad choices, etc. under our belt. Scott, you're creeping me out. So what are some of your most memorable movie or TV related moments related to romance?
To our own.
To your own. Yeah, I don't want to hear about somebody else's, romance. That would be weird. I was standing outside so-and-so's window right before they got it on, watching Andy Griffith.
Binoculars in one hand, lube in another.
Roses in my ear.
My first date was to Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but the movie-related moment that I think sealed the deal for me was back when my wife and I were first dating. She knew I was a huge Star Wars fan. She was a bit of a fan herself. And when episode one was coming out, she actually took time off from work to go stand in line and get us midnight screening tickets. And we went to go see it on that midnight screening. And even though she didn't love it, she went back and saw the second movie with me at midnight. And she went back and saw the third movie with me at midnight, even though for her it was diminishing returns. Just the fact that she would stand in line, get those tickets, and then stand in line at midnight to watch movies that weren't really doing it for her, but doing it for me just meant the world. And I think when she stood in line that first time, that was when I knew I had a keeper.
Oh, that was very sweet. Good luck topping that, anybody.
I'm sure Brian's got something.
Brian, you got anything?
I was whatever, 18-ish, just never really been away from home, was fresh in the Coast Guard and was at my new duty station up in dark and dreary Alaska, a boy from Georgia who's seen snow once, got dumped in Alaska in the middle of Valdez, Alaska's record-setting snowfall that winter, 500-600 inches of snow. It was ridiculous. That being said, went to a movie and worked pretty fast, had a date, and we went to see Silence of the Lambs.
Wow. Ooh, that's sexy time.
Wow. Nothing's going to help you get in those pants quicker, Brian.
I'm telling you, it was one of those things where I pursued her for a little while, just really persistent. And
some might say like a serial killer.
There's a fine line between romance and stalking, but anyway.
Did she put the lotion on her skin?
I don't know, because we were in a recall status, and about midway through the movie, my beeper went off and I had to go, and we had to go on a search and rescue case. So, we never finished that movie, but we did date for a little while longer and, fizzled out later. But at the time it was just like, I was so giddy and I was so excited to finally like, yes, I won, but it was just, it was neat. And it was whatever, 18 years old, young, quote unquote love, or lust, whichever.
Scotty, you got anything you want to share?
I don't have anything to top these guys, but my first date with my wife was to see a movie, and we went to see Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks.
Did you catch her?
I did, apparently. First movie I ever saw, and I think it was a year later, like on our first year anniversary of dating, I bought her the DVD for anniversary, and we watched it, and it was kind of romantic. And since we're on the subject of Valentine's Day, same kind of thing. I think it might have been the same one. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say it is because she'll yell at me later after she listens to this if it's wrong. But there is a restaurant up in my hometown, which is probably about 45 minutes away from here. It's like, I grew up with it, and really good Chinese food. I loved it. You might think it's terrible, but like, I grew up with it, so I loved it. She actually drove all the way up there just to get a couple buckets of rice for me and brought it back and surprised it. And I remember sitting down watching that movie with her and eating. It was just a really kind of a cool thing. She drove an hour and a half just to get me food that I liked. I thought that was really sweet.
You guys are all like very, very sweet stories. I had sex with a woman next to a dumpster behind a Blockbuster video once. True story. But let's try to be sweet.
Were you kind? Did you rewind?
Yeah, I did. Yep. I put it in the protective case. My wife, I guess I'll tell
my wife.
My wife, I'll tell this story. When I first wanted to date my wife, my old roommate and I were actually friends with her, and we both liked her. Same time, we knew her, you know, through different people. So we had a long conversation, and I told him, "I'm going to ask her out. I'm finally going to work up the courage and ask her out."
His response was,
"No, this asshole beat me to it."
No way.
Yeah. So he knew when I was going to do it, and the next day asked her out.
So basically, you were Ned Stark in this scenario, yes. Talking to Cersei.
Just wait. It gets better. So she says yes, because, you know, she didn't realize that I had a big thing for her, whatever. So she says yes, and she...
Not that big of a thing.
Obviously, because she said yes.
No boners for Miles.
No.
None. Says yes, they're going to go see Titanic, right? Because the Titanic had just come out. And so then she's like, well, I'll go, but only if it's a double date. So I had to go with another girl and those two on their first date.
Oh, do I know the other girl?
Huh?
Do I know the other girl?
You do. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Was he all handsy on her?
Mm-mm. No. She's not that kind of girl, Justin. Still isn't. So...
And he can get away with that because she doesn't listen.
She doesn't listen. That's why I could tell the dumpster story. So anyway, so we go to the movie, and then, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking, honestly. You know, it's not, no fun to be on a double date with somebody you were gonna.
Why do you not hate that movie?
Let me finish. I'm getting there. The story turns sweet.
Okay.
So we part, and they end up, like, that's really it. There's no chemistry, apparently, is what she determined, or... You know, she told him basically. And then after he did that, I told him, you know, I have a friend rule that if my friend has ever been there, I will never go there. Well, he never got there. So, and since that's.
Oh, by there, you mean
there.
The Boner Town.
Yes, exactly, to Boner Town.
Okay.
And since this son of a bitch knew that I was going to ask her out anyway, so I just said, fuck it. My rule doesn't apply to you.
You're such a liar.
So I asked her out, and we ended up going, our first date was to see Titanic again. Months after it, you know, a couple months after it had been out.
Mm.
See, it comes back around.
Scotty, does he have a lot of Eskimo brothers he's not willing to admit to?
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that really matters, does it? Anybody else? It was a sweet story. You guys are ruining my sweet story. Let me tell you about the dumpster behind the Blockbuster again.
I think you ruined it with your lies.
That's the truth. That was a true story. Absolutely true. Anybody else? Anything else you want to share? No, you guys don't like being personal, huh? Let me tell you about how I ripped my mom's window out of her car at the drive-in. I turned 16. I got my license. Hopped in the back. She wouldn't let me take this girl out unless I had friends with, because she thought I was going to do something stupid. Whatever.
Aaron?
Stupid? Her brand new bitchin' Toyota Celica. So we went to the drive-in, me and this girl, I can't even remember her name, save my life, and my friend's in the back, and we put the speaker in the window, right? This is the days when they had the speaker, the drive-in had a speaker in the window.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I realized a little too late that the car wasn't lined up correctly. So they're like, well, you got to back up and straighten out. The guy came and told me I had to straighten out. So I did that without taking the speaker off. And it pulled the window completely off the hinge and just dropped inside the door frame.
So when does this get romantic?
This one doesn't get romantic. That's just a story that happened on a date. Just awful, awful night. Just went to hell. Horrible, horrible hell. And I had to drive that car home after I'd already basically become this lame-o to this girl and ruined my mom's car and tried to explain to her why her window will never roll up again. And her brand new Toyota Celica.
You three come up with a cool story.
I tried like three different stories, and she's like,
I wish I had crunchy chips or something that I could have just chomped on.
I think we can move on. If nobody has any other.
We've moved on. We're just waiting for you to catch up.
Yes, Justin, you never get to say that because you don't know where the silent button is. So...
I get to say that now.
No.
You've taken my role.
Except I stayed interesting the whole time.
No.
Now, remember to like us on Facebook. We have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movie and TV fans, not just fans of the show. You're just mad that you never went behind the Blockbuster. It's for anybody that likes to talk
about
film.
How could I? You were busy back there.
I was. You could have tag teamed in. I would have let
you. No.
Were you on the clock?
No, I was off. I would not take
twice.
I would not take advantage of company dime.
Right.
Right.
Review us on iTunes. They will reach
in to take it down.
Review on the show. Justin, read your email.
This one's from Gallet, I'm assuming is how this is pronounced. Says, hi, guys. I've been a dedicated fan of yours for over a year now. Even though I am more of a TV person, thanks to you, I am much more informed when it comes to the movie world these days. It is a small world indeed, and I love how podcasting has helped make it so. Keep up the hard work. Podcasting is not that widely known here in Israel. That's right. Israel, folks, we are worldwide.
That's very cool.
But still, I am doing my best to spread the word, Gallet. P.S. I love this. A big thank you to Justin for telling everyone about the Gillian Anderson interview on the Nerdist podcast. Just started a complete rewatch of the show, and the interview was amazing. Can't wait for some new episodes of The X-Files coming soon on Fox. Fingers crossed. If I wasn't clear from the title of the email, I did nominate you for the podcast award and hope it helps.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate
thank you.
Because Justin needed more stroking of his ego.
Plenty
it's
more.
It's so fragile.
Stroke the,
it is.
Stroke the cockles of his heart.
That's right.
Brian?
We got one from Wally Kulik. He says, great show this week, boys. Sorry I haven't spoken to you guys lately. Child 44 looks awesome. But I am a Tom Hardy fan and Gary Oldman. I'd watch him cut grass, man. Thanks for having me in the football league. Wait a minute. Sorry to bother you like I am, but I just thought of my favorite.
Psycho.
Okay. I was like, what the hell? I can't remember his name. He was the main character in Jurassic Park. His role in Event Horizon scared me a lot. That movie scares me, so that's it.
Sam
also,
Neill.
The Cat in the Hat.
Oh, Sam Neill?
Sam Neill,
okay. Yeah.
The Cat in the Hat?
The Cat in the Hat.
That's actually, the cat is pretty fucking psycho.
Yeah, I've never considered
that's
that,
really
but you're
a good
right.
Point when you think about it.
Yeah.
He was pretty scary in Event Horizon.
Scotty?
We got one from Kristen Dew. She says, this week's movie is The Social Network. Excellent clip, Scotty. I loved your topic this week. To me, a perfect movie psycho is a character that hasn't really done anything out of the ordinary, but they just make your skin crawl and your heart pound when they are on screen. My picks would be Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver and, more recently, Lewis Bloom from Nightcrawler.
Mm.
I love the feeling of watching and waiting to see if and when they snap. Thanks, as always, for the wonderful podcast. I'm a hoe for life. Thanks, Kristen.
I'm really bummed that nobody thought of Travis Bickle when we were having that topic, because that he should have come up, really. Shame on us. Also,
well, you only give us one or two picks. I mean, there's all sorts of people we could have chosen, but
we had honorable mentions.
You know.
Well, if people like Justin, who apparently doesn't realize he talks so much, didn't have 7 honorable mentions when you give him the opportunity. He's like, wait, all right, I just got 3 more, Aaron. Just 3 more. Just give me a second. 5 minutes
just
later.
A baker's dozen more. That's all. That's it.
Yeah.
Stephen White, thanks for the he emailed me some info on a Snake Plissken collectible. Really appreciate it. Next time, just send the actual collectible. Even more appreciated. Remember to stay to the credits for outtakes. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com or tweet us on @H_outsider. Facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher radio app and give us a thumbs up if you do. Or through whatever podcast feed you do, just throw in our RSS feed. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. I want to thank Justin, Brian, and Scotty for being here.
As always, you are welcome.
You are welcome, sir. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure to be here. Just glad to help out, be a part of this team.
Mm. And thanks for sharing your romanticness.
I think it's romanticosity.
Romanticosity. Oh, bam! You guys That's are like boy. Sisters. And remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
You were a goddamn liar.
About what?
Oh. I have this rule. If my friend's been there.
If I know about it.
Okay, so now conditions are coming in.
I can't control what I don't know.
Here's Aaron's love of law all of a sudden rearing its ugly head.
Can I just tell you that Scott is in a shirt and tie this entire episode? Like a full shirt and tie and a suit coat.
Like a Justin Timberlake song?
Yeah, like he's, exactly. Can you sing it?
As long as I'm in my suit and tie. There you go.
He's got a good head bob, too.
Wait, I mean, what are you going to do is, you know. What I mean, let's say
no,
something.
No, we don't know, Brian. We really don't know what you're going to say.
You think she's hot, really? Like,
you don't think Cersei's hot?
Nah, I think it's because I'm.
What
just,
exactly do you find attractive, Scott?
Well, I mean, I just wouldn't kick her out of bed. I just want to. I would like do it and then just slap the shit out of her afterwards.
I would think that was part of the whole bed process.
She would like that.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Are videos okay? Because I can send you a couple of those.
Hey, sure. Send it on. I'll critique.
But you're going to be looking at a lot of me. I'm just saying.
They're more like GIFs, though. They're not
really
videos.
You know what
videos.
I'm going
to
do?
It's about all he lasted.
Was it a couple of Vine videos? And that's it?
Was our buddy Kurt used to say anything longer than 2 minutes of spoiling them? Yep.
There was a, I can't remember what they called it. It was, you know, they had all the weird positions or whatever. There's one where you're coming from behind and then you lean over and whisper in her ear and tell her that her sister fucks better than she does and see if you can stand for 12 seconds.
It's like the Valentine's Day episode of the Hollywood Outsider. Justin, and I don't want to irritate you, but on your Skype,
I feel like you're fucking about to. I am ready.
A fucking chair. I swear to God.
We're going to break out the WD-40 on it.
We're going to pull together at some point.
I can handle the chair, but are we done with the ass noise?
Ready?
Ready.
Ready? Scott, ready?
Brian, I'm ready.
All right. This.
Gotcha.
It doesn't help when you try to tell everybody to be an adult, and then you are the kid.
That's why it works so well.
He was setting that up from... That's a long con. See? That
Just call me Danny Ocean.